Now, we have just finished the eighth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and we're having a break this night, and we're going to look at these last three verses of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36, 37, and 38. In this ninth chapter, we have the Lord Jesus Christ performing a number of miracles, and a number of miracles are recorded for us. So at the beginning, we have the man that was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And how he was wonderfully and miraculously healed. We have the calling of Matthew, a tax collector, somebody akin to Zacchaeus. He lived for money and the accumulation of it, and in many ways had become a traitor to his own people. And here he is being obedient to the call of Christ to follow him, and we find that he does so. Now, there's no monetary incentive. But he arises and goes as he is bidden. Another miracle. We have the Lord transforming this man. We find in verses 10 to 13, the Lord Jesus Christ having a meal and interacting with and identifying with sinners in this world. And what a wonder that is, that the Holy Son of God should come into this world and there meet and come to the point of need where the sinner is. What a wonderful, miraculous, humbling this is. We then have two miracles that are performed in a short space of time. One is performed whilst on the way to another miracle. And so the woman with the issue of blood is healed whilst Jesus is on his way to go and help that man and his daughter, the daughter who had died, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. We have in verse 27, the healing of two blind men. In verse 32, we have the healing of the man that was dumb. And then in verse 35, we have a summary verse that describes how that many were healed of all and kinds and sundry diseases and illnesses. But also we find that Jesus was there preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 35. But in verse 36, we are shown, as it were, into the hearts of the Saviour. And we read there, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There is a large crowd before him. No doubt his fame had gone before him. Verse 26 would tell us that. The fame hereof went abroad into all that land. These were miraculous and wonderful times that were happening. His fame was heard and known by those in that region. And as he views this multitude, this large crowd, the Saviour here is moved with compassion for the people that are before him. He saw them as lost, weak, and alone. He uses the language of a shepherd. And when we think about this world, and as he thought about these people before him, they are lost. They are without a guide. They are faint. And how we, like the Saviour, ought to be moved with compassion for those round us, those in our families, those that we come in contact with, that they are lost without a shepherd, and they need that gracious saving by the Saviour. And then in verses 37, to where we will spend the remainder of our time, we find the Lord Jesus Christ now moves, having had that view in mind, to then exhort and to command his disciples. And so there is a command, secondly, there is a need, and thirdly, there is a supply. We find that there is a command. The harvest truly is plenteous. Before the disciples, before the Saviour, there are men, women, boys and girls who are likened to a field waiting to have it gathered in. The farmer or landowner needs to go out and labour to gather the harvest into the barns. Now, I'm sure over the last few weeks and months, you have seen the combine harvesters working very hard in order to gather in the harvest. It would be a waste, a terrible waste, if the farmer decided he couldn't be bothered, or it wasn't worth his effort, or there was no inclination to harvest. That field is ripe to be harvested, and it must be gathered in. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is viewing this world as a field which is ripe for harvesting. Much fruit to be gathered in. The Apostle Paul was in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and he stayed there for a period of 18 months because the Lord had revealed unto him that in that city there were much people. Verse 8 of chapter 18 of Acts. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. As we look out locally in our own environments, we must remember that there is a vast harvest of souls. There are many that need to hear the gospel, the good news of salvation. Now, that doesn't mean that we deny the doctrine of election, that God has chosen a defined number for salvation, but we are not given to know whom the elect are. They do not go round with a particular sign on their head, and so only the elect are to be spoken to. We are to be those that cast the gospel net far and wide. And we know not whom the Lord has predestined to salvation. But we believe, like Paul, that the Lord has much people in this city or in our town. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the disciples and really to the church as a whole this great mandate of taking the gospel to every creature. We can read about it at the end of Matthew 28 and in Mark 16. And these are the final words of Christ prior to his ascension and return to heaven. And the clear teaching of the scriptures is that with the coming of the Saviour, this gospel is to go out to the whole world. And so the scope of this great commission is not small. It is to be for every nation. And the gospel is to be brought forward and sent out to the four corners of this world. When we think about that most famous verse in John 3:16, we read there that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or similarly, in Isaiah 45, verse 22, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We may think to ourselves, well, we aren't in the vastness of the world. We don't have a hope of reaching the world, but the world is out there for us as well. And so the mandate of Christ to his church here remains the same, to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. And that is a challenge for us, isn't it? Are we preaching the gospel to every creature? Are we committed as a church to engage in gospel endeavor? It is as vital today as it has been in any other point in history. We are still under commission by Christ to go out and to preach the gospel. In that great commission that the Lord gave at Matthew 28, there is the conversion of souls, but there's also the teaching and the building up of the people of God as well. And so as we've gone through the book of Acts, we are seeing how people were convicted. The gospel came, it penetrated their hearts. There was belief and repentance, and there was obedience and baptism, and they were joined to the church. And then we find them continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so we have this great command. The harvest truly is plenteous. The second thing to note is the great need. And we find here that on one hand, the harvest is plenteous. In other words, it is vast. But the labourers are few. And so there is that double problem, the vastness of the task, and secondly, the fewness of the labourers. There is a great need. We are here this evening. There's just a few of us here. We can see, we can feel, we know our smallness. We can see the vastness of the task. And the labourers, they are few. The vast task. The gospel is to go out to all nations of the world. And it is utterly overwhelming and perhaps daunting. The hymn writer, our second hymn, will put it this way, facing a task unfinished. It's enormous. Even if we just look very locally in our own circumstance, I found some figures for the Wiltshire area, but it was looking at devices in particular. And it estimates that there are 32,975 residents in the devices area. 19% are children, under 18s. 57% are of working age, and 24% are over 65. Almost 33,000 people that we are called to reach. Huge. If we then looked and thought about where there were other gospel preaching churches in other places, our area would be even greater. And we have a great responsibility. And so as we look at this, well, how could we ever reach such numbers? Well, one way we could do it is to try and be clever. And we could convince ourselves that all was well, and we could look at statistics and numbers, and we could put a spin on things. We could argue and say, well, we go down to the open air once a month, and so we are reaching the town. The problem is with that, is that not everybody comes into the open air, into the BritOx, for 1 hour once a month. We could say and spin it that the church's details are advertised. It's on the board outside. We have a website, and so people are welcome to come in if they desire. We could console ourselves with the assurance that we are reaching people, but we're not seeing the Lord's blessing in souls being saved. We could run a Facebook advert and be told that you're reaching 15,000 people, but it's all a delusion. We're not really reaching people at all. And if you look at our locality, those 33,000 people, the vast majority will never have had a meaningful gospel conversation with a Christian telling them the good news of salvation. The work is vast. The second aspect to that is that the labourers are few. There's a few that are believers, a few that can speak on the things of God and of the experience of their salvation and talk to others concerning the good news of Christ. Now, sometimes when you walk through our town, or if you walk through another town or city, you will see what are called professional charity workers. And they are employed to work on behalf of the charity to generate interest and support in the cause that they're representing. And so you might see them today that they're representing an organization like Save the Children. And then you could come back tomorrow and you would see the same people, but this time they're representing Save the Whales or Save the donkeys, or whatever it might be. When we think about the Christian gospel, that cannot be outsourced to the world. And so although we are weak, this responsibility, this calling, this privilege lies with us. The third thing to note is the great supply. great supply. The Lord here gives his disciples this instruction. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God here is being promised that he will send forth laborers into his field. We must come to an end of ourselves. We must come to the point where we recognize that we are unable to do this in and of ourselves, that this is beyond us. The need is great, the people are many, the laborers are few. And there can be a temptation to say, well, we better not start, or we better wait until things change. But here we are told to see the need, to pray to the Lord, and it's the Lord that is interested, able, and will act. Well, if we don't see the need, if we don't have compassion upon the people like the Saviour did in verse 35, then we will not pray. If we do not see our utter inadequacy and utter inability to fulfill this, we will not pray. But when we do, it should drive us to our knees. And so despite the lack of resource that we have, we are to pray to the Lord. And in that point, the resource that we have is infinite. There is in this text a principle that those who are praying are those who are already being described as being laborers. A laborer working for the Lord. One who is being obedient to the command of Christ. And we are praying that the Lord would send additional help, for additional laborers to join with us. Now, this is the challenge. If the Lord gave us laborers of the same quality or the same zeal as us, would it have an effect upon our locality? Would it impact our community? If there were 1,000 people like us, who worked like us, who labored like us, would the town of Devizes know any more of the gospel? I say that as a challenge to my own heart. We are to pray to the Lord. Why should we pray to him? Well, he is interested. After all, it is his field. It's his work. It is his harvest. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be glorified. This is a great commission that God has given. And the Lord has promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He's interested, he's able, he can help. And what a comfort this is, the one that has all power, the one that has all authority in heaven and in earth. This is the one that equips, prepares, and sends out into his harvest. The enemy may be great, the obstacles may be great, the difficulties may be tremendous, but the Saviour is greater than all of this. The work may be vast, but he has all power. And he will act. We are told, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It is his purpose. The elect will be gathered in, and when the last soul is saved, then Christ shall return. And whilst this world is remaining, the commission to the church is not nullified, but the Lord has promised to be with and to equip and to send forth laborers into his harvest. When that is completed, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as one, complete and whole, will from every tribe and tongue and nation, from the ends of the earth, that transforming power of the gospel seen in them, and they will cast their crowns before the Lamb that was slain. There will be no further necessity of this promise to be with us in this great task, because it will be completed and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a wonderful mission that is ours. And may the Lord help us to be obedient to that. Just to remind you of Acts chapters 1 and 2. There were just a few there in Jerusalem, gathered as a Pentecost approached, just 120. They've been given the commission to go out into the whole world. I'm sure you remember this when we've gone through this. How could they do it? Well, the Lord brought to them the world. All those different nations that are represented and described in Acts chapter 2. And we find that on one day after the preaching of the gospel by Peter, that 3,000 souls were saved. The work is vast. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But yet the Lord has promised to be with us, and therefore we can expect great things. Well, may the Lord apply these things to us. May they be a comfort to us, a challenge to us, but may our confidence not be in ourselves, but be in God. Amen.